This is Eli Fisher podcasting Perek Dalet, the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. We left, Nehemiah had, in the last chapter, Nehemiah had instituted this adopt-a-wall strategy where everybody built a little part of it, and they built the wall around Yerushalayim, but only about halfway. And it wasn't terribly well fortified. And now he has raised the ire of the local agitators well enough that they're actually going to attack. So each time the conspiracy gets larger. First it was Sanballat and Tovia, then they added the Arvim, and now they're adding the Ashdodim. And by the way, this covers all the directions. You had Sanballat and the Shomronim were to the north, Amon is to the east, and the Ashdodim were to the west, and the Arabs were in the Negev to the south. And they did not want, as all the directions, all the local peoples, and they did not want Yehuda to become a regional power. Once the building, once Yerushalayim was completed, they would be in position, and they actually did become a regional power. It would take a good couple of hundred years after that, and there would be a change of governments a couple of times, right, from the Persians to the Greeks, and within the Greeks, from the Ptolemies to the Seleucids, until they finally, there finally was the Jews regain their independence. So they conspire together. So they heard, when all these people heard, Kielta Arucha L'chomod Yerushalayim, that the building of Yerushalayim's walls went forward, and right, that it went up well, ki yichilu apruchim lisateim, and that the breaches were beginning to be filled in and sealed. They got angry. They all conspired together to go fight in Yerushalayim and to cause it to be confused, right, to mess everything, to frustrate it. We davened to Hashem, and we set up a guard night and day against them. So a very typical Jewish reaction. You have the combination of prayer and actually doing something. Dalet and Hay. Shows what the morale of the Jews were like. Vayomer Yehuda. Yehuda said, "Kashal koach hasabal. I can't take it anymore. The strength of the bearers of those who are carrying the burdens is failing. Ve'afar harbe. There's a lot of dirt, a lot of junk. Va'anachnu lo nuchal livno b'chomah. We can't build this wall. Vayomer Tzoreinu. And our enemy said, meaning this is the Jews still saying, and are still speaking. So it's an embedded right." The Jews say that their enemies say, "Lo yedu v'lo yiru," that they're not going to hear, know, and they're not going to hear. Adasher navo el tocham, until we're already in the middle, varagnum, and we're going to kill them. V'hishpatnu et hamalacha, and we're going to stop this work. Right? So they're saying that they're not going to let this continue. V'hi kasher bo ayudim hayoshvim etzlam, when the Jews who lived amongst them came. Right? So. And they said to us, there are 10 times as many of us as there are of you, even if you bring all your people together. Right? That's what this pasuk seems to mean, even though there are different interpretations and it's kind of obscure. It seems that no matter how many people you get, we're going to have 10 times as many. There are two interesting things in that pasuk. One is that, you know, the strange formulation, which I just offered an interpretation. The other interesting thing is that it seems here that the Jews and the non-Jews were neighbors, right? The Jews, it's not like they came back and lived in ghettos. They came back and they were mingling with the local people. They were part of the local people, right? The whole idea in Ezra and Nehemiah, their project to create a separate and distinct Jewish people in Israel was a big chiddush, right? The Jews, when they moved back to whatever cities they were originally from, and there were all kinds of people there. They weren't the only one there. Pasuk Zion. And by the way, there is archaeological evidence for mixed villages, Jewish-Gentile villages in this time. Nehemiah responds, Va'amid mitachtiot lumakom me'achrei l'chumha, right, below the place, meaning in within the walls, right? So I set up basically an ambush inside the walls, matzchichim, in the cracks. Va'amid ta'am lumishpachot, and I set the people up by family, imchavotem, rumachem, v'kashtotem, with their swords and spears and bows and arrows. Va'irat, and I looked at them, va'akum, and I got up, va'omar alachorim, and I said to the freedmen, the nobles, ve'laskanim, and to the deputies, ve'al yeteram, to everybody else, al tiru mipnehem, don't be afraid of them, et adonai agadol anura zichru, remember the great and awesome God, v'ilachamu b'chol alachichem, batechem, b'nechem, b'notechem, nesherem, batechem, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives, and your homes. Right? So this is a morale booster. He divided them up by family, that each family defended a certain area. Vayihi. Just pasuk tet. So after Nehemiah had reviewed the troops, and after he set them up to stay within the walls and to ambush, when our enemies found out that we knew what they were going to do, and that God had frustrated their plans, we all returned to the wall. Everybody went back to work. All right, back to work. Threat over. And from that day, it's not that they just went right back to what it was. They made an adjustment every day since that. From that day forward, on every day, half of the youths were. Did the work, right? And the rest of the other half would hold the spears and the shields, and the bows and the coats of mail, and the rulers, right, the princes were behind everybody in the house of Yehuda. One thing I forgot to mention. Yeah, okay, never mind. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Habonim b'chuma v'hamonosim b'sevel. Those that built the wall and those that carried the burdens. Omsim ba'achat yado. Omsim. Right, they loaded themselves up. Ba'achat yado, with one hand, osev ha'mlacha, he did the work. Ba'achat ma'achzaket ha'shalach. And one hand held the weapon. Right, so everybody, even the ones that were working, the ones that weren't guarding, they were working, they still carried their weapons. Bonim, and those that were building, ish charbo al tsurim al mantnov, everybody had a sword bound to his waist, tied to his waist, uvonim, and they were building. Vatokea b'shofar etzli, and there was somebody that would blow the shofar who was next to me. And we'll see what that the importance of that shofar soon. That's part of his strategy. That's part of Nehemiah's strategy. V'omar al-achorim. They said to the noblemen, to the freedmen, v'laskanim, v'l'yeteram, ha'mlacha harbe. And they said to everybody else also, that there's a lot of work to do. V'ruchava, it's a broad amount of work. V'anachnu nifradim al-achoma, yet, when we're working on the wall is big, and we're not always right next to each other, right? There's breaches, there are gaps between us. We don't close out on top of the wall, right? That would prevent anybody from going in. Right? We're spread thin on top of the wall. Rechokim yish me'achiv. Each person is separate from each other. So Nehemiah devises a defensive strategy that would acknowledge the fact that, you know, the people were far away. Meaning you have a big circumference, you don't have that many people. How do you defend? So b'mkom asher tishmu et hakol. So what he did was it's kind of like the Baltimore Ravens defense, if anyone's familiar. It was he devised a swarming strategy. That what it is instead of putting a line, a relatively thin line all around the circumference, what he did was he spread people out along the circumference and then kept a group of people mobile, kind of roaming in the center, and so that they could attack whenever they would hear the shofar, they would hurry to the point of attack, right? So it was kind of, they would swarm to converge on the point of attack, right? If you're not familiar with defensive football schemes, then, you know, have to use your imagination. Pasuk Yodalet. B'makom asher tishmu et hakol shofar. Right, wherever you hear the shofar, tikbatzu elenu, you gather towards us. Lokim elokeinu yelochem lanu. Our God will fight for us. Pesukim tedvav through Yodzayin finish out this perek by describing like an overview of how they lived. Anachnu osim b'mlacha, we were doing the work. V'chetziam machzikim baramachim, half of us were holding on to spears. Me'alot hashachar ad zeta kochavim, from dawn until stars appeared. V'gam ba'etahi amarti la'am, even in those times, even then, I said to the people, Ish v'naro yalinu b'toch Yerushalayim, that each person and their helpers, right, the kids that were helping them, their servants, lodge, sleep in Yerushalayim. Ilanu alayla mishmor v'ayom alacha, and at night we kept guard and we worked all day. V'ena niva achayun haray v'anshe mishmor asher acharay, ena nachnu poshtim begadeinu. That whole time, anybody that was working on the guard, they didn't take off their clothes, right? We never changed our clothes. Ish shilcho hamayim. Right, so it's unclear what exactly this means. It means that everybody always had their weapon and their water, or everybody always had their weapon with them even when they went out to the water. Either way, with the impression that you get from these psukim is that there's a frantic pace, right? That they're guarding all day, that they're really doing this as quickly as possible. They're not changing, they're not sleep. They're sleeping in Yerushalayim. They were taking their weapons with them everywhere. They wanted to make sure that this went well. And they wanted to make sure that it got done as soon as possible. We'll continue with Perek Hay tomorrow.